Let's talk now to South Australia's opposition leader, Isabel Redmond. She's been called raw, politically inexperienced, but she is also a fresh face, and there's a chance that come Saturday she will be the next South Australian Premier. After a remarkable surge in the polls, many feel that the South Australian Liberals are close to knocking off the RAN government's majority, perhaps even gaining a big enough swing to govern in their own right. And the Labor Party shows every sign of being nervous, unleashing negative attack ads in these final days of campaigning, directed at the leader herself and at her past comments on a couple of hot-button issues. Here's one ad accusing her of being soft on drugs.
When every parent fears their child falling prey to the illicit drug trade, Mike Rann and Labor have taken a stand against this criminal traffic. What does the current Liberal leader say?
No, I mean, certainly the information is that ecstasy doesn't seem to be as big a risk as a number of other drugs.
Ecstasy? Not a risk.
Authorised by Ian Brown for the ALP Adelaide.
And there was a couple of them dealing with other issues as well. Well, the South Australian opposition leader, Isabel Redmond, joins me now from Adelaide. Isabel Redmond, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning to your listeners.
Let's deal with that ad first. Are you soft on drugs? Do you stand by the comment you made a few years ago that ecstasy doesn't seem to be as big a risk as a number of other drugs?
Can I put that comment in context? I had attended a rave party in Adelaide at the invitation of a guy called Dr. David Caldicott. He was the head of the drug and alcohol unit of the Royal Adelaide Hospital, and he issued an invitation to MPs so that we could go along and see for ourselves what talking about the drug culture meant. And I went to the rave party, spent the whole time with him, looking at what the police do there, what the various groups with their various types of music. He was able to tell me what the preferred drugs are. And in its context, that statement was simply a statement of fact that, you know, on a risk ratio, ecstasy, and I can't remember the figures now, but ecstasy might have a 1 in 1,000 chance, for instance, of killing you just because you've taken it and some people react badly to it, whereas other things like ice or crack may have a higher risk. And so they've taken that little tiny bit completely out of context, because my whole a sentence and so on, the whole context of it was that, no, I don't think ecstasy is a safe drug. I think all illicit drugs are inherently dangerous and that you can die from taking ecstasy. No one knows what's in these things, and in any event, even if you were able to say that it's pure, it is a dangerous drug because you don't know what your body's reaction will be. So it was
Do you think these ads are going to hurt you in these final days?
Look, the impression I'm getting is that a lot of particularly young people actually hear it and just shake their heads, because they know that that is true, that, you know, there are other drugs like ice and crack and cocaine which are more risky, but that doesn't mean that ecstasy isn't risky. It's just a matter of fact. So I don't think that it is hurting me as much as the Labor Party would like to think, but I think it's pretty clear from a couple of the ads that they've taken very short snippets out of clearly longer sentences simply because they think that they can try to paint it as something that it's not. And, you know, I didn't ever say ecstasy is not a risk or ecstasy is not dangerous. I simply made a comment based on the information I'd been given by a doctor who headed the drug and alcohol unit at the Adelaide Hospital at the time.
Isabel Redmond, you've had an incredible surge in the polls and in the short time that the campaign's been on and just before, and in fact an incredible rise politically. You've only been in the Parliament 4 years, I think. How much credit do you take for the turnaround in the Liberal Party's fortunes? Is it you, Isabel Redmond, or is it that the voters just want change?
Well, I think there's probably an element of both, and it's certainly not just me. I mean, there's been a team working behind me, and they've been lockstep behind me. Our parliamentary team has been entirely committed to winning this election, and we have been working on policies, and I think you need to be out there arguing for your policies well in advance of an election. So we've identified what we think are the policies, and we've been arguing for those for many years now, in fact.
Years, to be fair, your team has been painted, or your party really, is pretty much of a rabble up until 8 months ago. And just this week, the spectre of leadership instability again with Vicky Chapman. Is that an issue? Do you think an issue in voters' minds that actually this Liberal Party is not ready to govern and you're not ready to govern?
No, I don't think that that's the case at all. And in fact, that whole thing with Vicky was an absolute beat-up. Vicky simply brushed aside a question asked in the middle of an interview, which was about health funding and so on, and said, look, I'm concentrated on the next 5 days, which was a perfectly reasonable answer, but of course gets beaten up into something about her challenging. I can guarantee you that she's not intending to challenge me, and she can guarantee you in the same way that there's no one is even thinking about going there challenging. In fact, the word we're getting is that the Sharks are beginning to circle Mike Rann, such has been his performance in this election campaign.
Okay. On this program yesterday, Premier Mike Rann intimated that what some are calling the Chantelloy effect had been part of an organised political strategy. Now, I know you say that your party's had nothing to do with it, but do you concede that the Michelle Chantelloy saga has turned the tide politically?
Well, I don't know whether it's turned the tide, but I think it certainly had an effect on Mike Rann in terms of being distracted, perhaps, and in terms of being concerned about issues that weren't the concerns of the people of the state.
Can you say again that no one in your party has had anything to do with Michelle Chantelloy or her husband and their appearances in this campaign?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have issued firm instructions from the outset. I have constantly said I will not make a comment. I've instructed my MPs, my candidates, my staff, anyone associated with the Liberal Party to make no comments, not to put anything on Facebook or Twitter, make no comment whatsoever to stay well away from the issue. So, you know, they can assert all they want, but it has had nothing to do with us whatsoever.
Okay. One of the issues that does seem to be a major issue in this campaign is the fate of the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Your plan is to rebuild the hospital on site to stay with it. The government is offering a brand new 21st century hospital. Why don't South Australians deserve a new high-tech hospital, especially when you've got people like the AMA State President, Dr. Andrew Lavender, saying you're doing a disservice to the people of South Australia by not taking up that option?
No, look, it is not a matter of not getting a brand new state-of-the-art hospital. What we're saying is that the very heart of the hospital, the very high-tech areas, the theatres, intensive care units, the burns unit and so on, always the most expensive part to build a new hospital, and it makes no sense to bulldoze what we taxpayers already own, which is already state-of-the-art, world-class. Our burns unit, for instance, got an international award last year, accreditation from a burns unit in America. First place outside of America to get that.
The Premier told us on this program yesterday the head of the burns unit supports the building of the new hospital.
Well, just let me finish, because what we want to do is rebuild other buildings around it. We accept that parts of the hospital need rebuilding, but this is a teaching and research hospital that should stay with its medical school, its dental school, the IMVS, the institutes that have grown up around it for teaching and research. It also means that we can create a hospital which is vertically built rather than horizontally. It gives us 1,500 car parks underneath, but most importantly, we save $1 billion of already taxpayer-funded infrastructure that we already own. And there is no doubt that over a period of time, all units need to be kept up and refurbished. But at the moment, this burns unit, this intensive care unit, these theatres are state-of-the-art, world-class, and it makes no sense to bulldoze them just because the hospital, the government on a whim, a couple of years ago decided that it would be a good big ticket item. They'd done no previous research or anything like that. They just decided that would be a good big ticket item for their budget, so let's move the hospital. And the people overwhelmingly, I believe, support the concept that we save that $1 billion and invest it into our other hospitals around the suburbs and the state.
Your costings have been challenged. People say it's going to cost a lot more than that. But I'd like to ask you a question looking to the future. If you are elected on Saturday, a question on health. Will you back Kevin Rudd's health reform plan, the hospital funding plan?
Well, certainly not on the basis of the information that I've had so far. As you may know, I travelled to Canberra last week and arranged a meeting with Nicola Roxon's advisers and staff. I had people from various Treasury, Premier, Prime Minister and Cabinet, Health Department and so on. And that meeting left me with more questions than answers, quite frankly, because there can be no guarantee at all that there won't be hospitals in South Australia that are forced to close under this new regime. And indeed, the way the funding model is proposed, it appears to create a massive new bureaucracy at the head of each regional sector, which is to be paid for out of existing state government budgets, not paid for out of the Commonwealth funding model. So that seems to me to be likely to take away doctors and nurses in favour of more bureaucrats.
And so if Kevin Rudd's elected, his scheme is in trouble because you won't support it?
Well,
I mean, if you're elected, I beg your pardon, if you're elected.
Well, that's right. I mean, I'll attend and I'll listen. I always, and that's why I went to the rave party. I always want to work from a position where I know the facts that I'm talking about. But I had a meeting with the various bureaucrats from various departments, and certainly nothing they said to me indicated that this was going to lead to an improvement in health services for this state.
Isabel Redmond, two quick issues now. Water is a very important issue in South Australia, always an important issue in this campaign. Yesterday, Premier Rann said he'd done a deal with states upriver to secure an extra 400 billion litres for South Australia and the Lower Lakes. You say there's no deal. If the deal's not signed, sealed or delivered, is that the issue here, or is the Premier doing the right thing, trying to get this water down to the lakes?
No, the Premier was doing the wrong thing because he was trying to kid South Australians into believing that he had done a deal, and no such deal exists. If that water comes downstream, it comes downstream simply because of the basis of the Murray-Darling Basin Agreement that is already in existence. This is not the first time Mike Rann has come out with statements indicating that he has done deals which simply don't exist and tried to claim glory for things that he hasn't achieved.
And just a final one, I was interested in your reaction to the South Australian Film Corporation funding of a film about the Snowtown Bodies and the Barrels murders. I was reading about it in the papers the other day.
Yep.
You've said that a Redmond government would demand accountability from the Film Corporation for such scandalous allocation of public funds. Why on earth would the state government get involved in what films a film corporation is choosing?
Well, because it's public money.
Is that
money.
Appropriate?
Well, yeah, look, I'm not really one who wants to go into censorship at all, but, you know, this is public money, and in this particular case, this is a town, as well as the individuals and the families of those who were murdered, this town of Snowtown has struggled and is still struggling with the damage that's been done to the town itself by the fact that this dreadful bodies in the barrel case occurred there, and indeed the court cases are not long over. The public, I think, is entitled to be very upset at the idea that the state government is putting money into a film which is being financed to make a film from the murderer's perspective about that particular case.
Okay. Isabel Redmond, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
It's a pleasure.
South Australian opposition leader Isabel Redmond. It's 8 minutes to 8.